Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 12, beginning with the 13th verse. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store of my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase now our faith through them. Amen. About 5 or 6 years ago, the U.S. Marshals decided to put together a sting to try to catch a number of criminals who had thus far gotten away from them. And so they set up an elaborate sting process by which they would send UPS trucks to the homes of these criminals and have a U.S. Marshal dressed as a UPS delivery man and go up to their door and tell them that they had a package that had arrived. And the guy would say, "Well, what are you talking about? I didn't order anything." And he said, "Well, apparently you've won a large screen television." And the guy would gladly sign for it and everything. And he said, "The only problem is I need some help getting it out of the truck. Could you come out and help me get it out of the truck?" And so the guy would go out, the criminal, with the marshal dressed like the UPS man, and they'd throw open the door to get the big screen TV, and five marshals would jump out and grab him and pull him in. So if anybody ever comes to your house, okay. What earthly item or what thing or goal or possession or person might the devil try to use to deceive us into losing what Christ has won for us on the cross? That's really what our Lord Jesus is addressing in this text. St. Paul, in his day, writes to Timothy that some people among the Christians of their day, some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this is a constant problem for us believers in Christ in this world, especially in a culture like ours where we have so much wealth around us, so many goods and things that we can do and have, and the media shines the spotlight on those things for us. They are very attractive, and when we're young and we've got our whole life ahead of us and getting to heaven seems like it's 80 years away, boy, is it easy to find a lot of things to draw us back to this life and the treasures of this world. And it's that strong temptation and lure that is prevalent, that comes from the devil and the world, but is in such harmony with my own sinful heart. It's that issue and that danger that our Lord Jesus wants us to be very careful of and to consider. Now, when we think about this rich man in Jesus' parable, the guy who goes off and builds all these barns and so on, we need to understand something and be careful about knowing things about him the right way. His sin is not in having things. His sin is not in his possessions. The sin that he has is not in the fact that he has been very blessed. There have been many faithful believers who are very wealthy. Abraham's a great example of that. Solomon. There are people who can have riches. But the problem is his heart, and that can happen to anybody at any stage of life, no matter how much or how little money that you have. So let's not foolishly think that this is just talking about rich people and the temptation of them that they may face. This is talking about us, all of us. I don't care if you're living in a van down by the river, you can still have this greed in your heart tempting you and drawing you to the possessions of this world. And we see this man say to himself in his comfort, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." We are very lured by the world to measure our lives and what matters in life by the world's standard of success. And the devil has three basic ways to tempt us when it comes, as Christians, to tempt us when it comes to material possessions. The first is this: to get us to think that we can go after that and heaven at the same time, which Christ says is impossible. But that's one temptation. The second one is this: that when we're young, we can set aside the goal of heaven, keep it in front of you, but just make it not as important now while you pursue other things. And the third is this: to outwardly sound like and appear like we care about heaven above everything else, but inside have our hearts actually fixed on the things of this world. Jesus sums it up: beware of covetousness. There was a great Norwegian devotion writer by the name of Bishop Locke, and he wrote it this way. I love this. He says, "Like a horse leech that is never satisfied, materialism and greed, it will drink your own heart's blood. Once it attaches itself to your soul and your heart, it will drink until it kills you." Our Lord Jesus does not want you and me to lose what we have in him and the greater kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard, especially when we're young and thinking that we have plenty of time in this world. He knows how much more valuable and important the treasures of heaven truly are. You know, if getting you a nice house in this world was what you wanted and needed and that was going to help you, think about it. Christ didn't come down here and shed his blood for you to have that. That wasn't worth it, because that'll fade away someday. But heaven, making sure that you get to have heaven someday, that was worth it. That was worth the sacrifice. He is well aware of the amazing blessings that you have waiting for you. Those were worth his entire mission of coming here to pay for your sins and mine and go to the cross and suffer and die, to feel hell itself so you and I would never have to. He knows what a horrific thing it would be for you to lose your soul eternally. And so if there's anybody that can give us a proper perspective on what we should be investing in this life, it's our Lord Jesus himself, who tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things we need in this life will be taken care of. If you have to build some barns in your life, your Lord Jesus directs you to build them in a different place than here in this world. Construct a barn in your life of penitent life, a repentant life. Construct another barn on the property of your life, of loving Christ and appreciating his grace and forgiveness that he gives us so freely in word and sacrament. Build another barn in your life of desiring to spread his kingdom. And build another barn on the property of your life of planning for the future home of heaven that you will have someday through faith in him. There's a great, well-known businessman in the world right now by the name of Jack Welch, who is a big tycoon, is worth about $750,000 personally. He was CEO of General Electric for many years, and he's on a big book tour right now and often interviewed on business channels and so on. He's had great success. Many people seek him out to learn how to build a big nest egg and how to get through things in this life. I would encourage you to seek out the great success stories in the business of the kingdom of heaven, the great authors. Begin, of course, with our Lord himself. And then go study Paul, and study Peter, and study John, and study Augustine, and study Luther, and study Walther. Study the business of heaven. Our Lord says to us, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things." Amen.